kingdom greetings to each one of you. God is good all the times. All the times, our God is good. You know, and the crazy thing is, at times, many times, we try to understand what God's doing, when really, you shouldn't try that. God is bigger than everything. What he wants is from us is to trust him. Trust him. That's why I said God is good. He's good at all times. And I choose to believe him. I believe this is, I told you last week, if there is a time for you to pray. I know some of you got, you wake up at 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning, 2 in the morning. Pray. Pray in tongues. Intercede for people. You know, intercede for the world. Pray for our president. Pray for Joe Biden. Pray for Kamala Harris. Pray for them. They need Jesus. Pray for the governor. Pray for whoever else that comes in your mind. Pray that their hearts, people that are in power, their hearts would come to the Lord. Pray. Pray. Keep on praying. Pray. Pray for those people. Remember, you can't pray from place, from bitterness, okay? Remember that? Jesus said to pray for your enemies. That's a tough one, right? And when you pray for your enemies, don't pray, God, judge them. You know, may fire come from heaven. But as a matter of fact, Jesus said in Matthew, bless your enemies. Bless them. You know? So, I thank God for this week. It was a tough one, but a good one because our God remained good at all times. So, today I want to continue with my sermon. I am a church member. I started last week. Can anybody tell me what I spoke about last week? Just, 7-Eleven. That's a good one. You remember that one. Yes, that's a good one. This is not coffee. This is water. You know, as we, I would encourage you to not bring coffee in here because unless it's in a very contained container, because we're trying to keep the Lord's house nice and clean. So let us all do that together. Start with me. But this is water. It looks like coffee. It's water because, you know, coffee stain and Coke stain. So let us continue to keep the Lord's house. Something else besides 7-Eleven. That was a good one, though, because you, I bet you this week every time you drive by 7-Eleven, you remember that. Yes, Bernie. And what was that number? Yeah. Ken. Privileges. That's a good one. Benefits. There are great benefits. See, being a church member is completely different than being a club member or Sims Club member. I told you all those people they want you to become a member so they can take advantage of you. There are some advantages they give you too, right? I find out Harris Teeter, if you buy, keep buying, they give you points for gas, right? I know some of us got a special credit card, so we buy gas and we get points, we get something in return. But, I mean, those people, they're not dumb. They give you something back so you could make sure you are committed. Check out the idea. You use that card. And you committed to that organization. What do you call them? A merchant or the bank? You committed to them, so you could get something in return. And I tell you, once your points are up there, it's nice, right? You can buy airplane tickets. You can go on vacation, right? It's good stuff. So I am a church member. Open your Bibles. I think I have my glasses. I left my glasses in the back. Open your Bibles with me. Let's read it again. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I have mine in the office. Can you get it for me? Or in the back. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. Open your Bibles. Thank you, Lord, for your word today. May your word once again today set us free. May the Holy Spirit teaches us the things that we need to know. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. It says, the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up the one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some of us are Gentiles, some of us are slaves, some are free, some are Jamaicans, some are Haitians. You remember? That's only from in my version. Sorry. Some Americans, some are Native Indians. when I read mine, I see that. Some of us are Gentiles, but we all have been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Hallelujah. Verse 14, yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where He wants it. How strange a body would be. I love this. Because, you know, I'm a visual man. I picture it. Can you help me? Picture it. How strange would it be if it had only one part? You know, how strange it would be if you just see one ear walking. Verse 20. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. You see, now, when you read this, you realize my body have some parts that are less dignified, that has less dignity. It's okay. You know? I always use that example, just in our mouth. When you smile, you see your front teeth, right? Okay? But really, if you don't have, start from here, going back your molar to your wisdom teeth, it deform your face. And I know it's very hard to break up your food. And nobody wants to have them. I mean, every tooth in your mouth are necessary. But you don't see the back tooth. You see the front one. Let's finish in verse 25. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for each other. So if one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. And then here are some parts God has appointed to the church. First, apostles. Second, our prophets. Third, our teachers. Then those who do miracles, those who have the gifts of healing, those who can help others, those who have the gifts of leadership, those who speak in unknown languages, etc., etc. Verse 29. So now I go back. We are church member. There's another verse I want to read. It's in John chapter 12, verse 26. Open your Bibles in John 12, verse 26. You see how technology failed us this morning? You know, so it's good to learn the songs, to sing from your heart, because our screens is not working today. John 12, 26 says, anyone who wants to be my disciple must follow me, because my servant must be where I am, and the Father will honor anyone who serves me. Let's read it again. Anyone who wants to be my disciple, how many people here wants to be the disciple of Christ? Amen. I do. I want to. What does that mean? That means if I want to be a disciple of Christ, I need to follow Christ. I need to do as He does. That's what makes the difference between you and everybody else. churchgoers. I mean, your life will impact this generation the moment you begin to follow Christ. Because when you follow Christ, you're going to become like him. I mean, yeah, buddy. I bet you, pretty soon, we might become a yeah, buddy church. Because then, his yeah, buddy, he's making all of us becoming disciples of yeah, buddy. So before you know it, I'm going to be talking, yeah, buddy. Because that's all he said. If you didn't know that, that when you start talking, if you talk with him like for 5 minutes, you will hear, yeah, buddy. You see, now, the more time you spent with him, you get to know him. He's a yeah, buddy, buddy. And if you're not careful, before you know it, you start saying, yeah, buddy. Right? You see, that's how it is being a Christian. You can make an impact. You will make an impact if you hold on tight to your values. As a matter of fact, it says in 2 Peter 1:3-4. It says, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for godliness. When God has given us all his precious promises, those promises enable us to participate in God's nature and for us to escape the corruption that's in this world. How amazing it is for us to participate in God's nature. Meaning, I mean, the more time you spend with God, the more you get to know God, the more you become like him. Amen? Can I have a witness here? That's why we tell people, it's not religion. If only you know, man. It's like, it's not religion. It's you become like God. God loves. God is love. You know, he gives us a chance. You know, understand this, following Jesus involves far more than believing in him. It is involved belonging. I told you last week, why a sense of belonging? A sense of belonging, when you belong to something, when you're part of a family, I mean, I don't think there's any orphans here, but, I mean, you could be an orphan, but the moment the orphan mentality is displaced, that person gains identity. And the best way to displace an orphan mentality is to introduce the orphan to a family. Is that clear? So what you do, if I adopt an orphan, that person feels like they don't belong anywhere. They grew up with a sense of rejection because their parents, whoever had them, didn't want them. Okay? I mean, the same thing. It could be somebody with parents but grew up in a family where the dad or the mom always curse at them, always tell them they're worth nothing. As a matter of fact, I don't think it happens here, but I know back in Haiti, people would name their kids according to what they're going through in the moment of birth. So if they're going through some tough time, they call the kid Tough Time. That is sad. Misery. Misery. I've known people, their name is Misery. Sadness. Sad, the parents, because it was such hard time during their life, while the baby was born, they called the kid Sadness. That's so sad, amen. The baby was born so little, they call it little man. Yeah. I know a guy, his name is Severe God, because for the father understood God as a severe God. So the guy called the baby Severe God. The mom and the dad was in a fight. It's like, no, you're not going to call my kid Severe God. Let's call him Jackson. It's like, no, I don't care. I want to call my God. I've experienced the severity of God. My son's name is Severe God. So this guy, I mean, I pray that somehow before he dies, he comes to understand God is not a severe God. You see, and I think when people understand membership, they understand covenant, they understand, I told you last week, two people who understand covenant All of you here have been married, who has been married for and stick together. You understand the only reason you stay together is because you choose to be together. Because there was a time in the marriage you lost the passion. I've been married for 22 years. It's nothing compared to most of you that's been married for 50 years here. Some of you. I still like older than you then. You guys are older than us, right? 26, 27? 23? Oh, 17, so I'm older. 22. I'm a like almost a good adult, mature adult. But you know, we choose each other. We choose to stay in the covenant marriage. You see, only as a believer only as we belong to Christ's body, we can become what he intends us to be. And it's so sad, for years people have lost a sense of being part of a community. And even during COVID, you know what the spirit of COVID is doing? COVID is a spirit of death. I'm not discarding COVID. COVID is a virus that all of us should take seriously. You know, do whatever you got to do to protect yourself. But don't let COVID break your community. Don't let COVID kill your community, your family. You know, I know in the past year and a half, parents died because, you know, they couldn't. I mean, some parents died and couldn't. Their kids couldn't see them. Families couldn't meet together. That's evil. That's the spirit of death. Families should be able to get together. Now understand, during a pandemic, as we get together, we take the necessary precaution to make sure everyone stays safe. But it's not the kingdom for us to be so independent. We need each other. I need you. I need you. You need me. We best friend as friend can be with a community. I do. We do need each other. Don't let anybody make you think they're so tough. Oh, you don't need each other. You don't need people. As a matter of fact, you find those same people, you know, trying to be tough, but yet so needy, but they don't want people to see their weakness. You see, in the kingdom, it's okay to be vulnerable. That's why we encourage you to be part of a home group. Be part of, get involved in the body. It's okay to be vulnerable. Even pastors, like clergies or the priests, everybody wants people to think they got it together. I don't have it together. I'm still learning like you. I still have bad days. I still deal with vengeance. I still want to do bad things. But I make a choice. Not by power, not by my spirit, says the Lord. That's it. I live not by the flesh, but I live by the Spirit. So therefore, the Holy Spirit enables me to make the necessity steps towards good choices. That's how you experience victory in your life, in your Christian life. You know, people think when you give your life to Christ, remember the verse of John 12, verse 26 says, anyone who wants to be my disciple must follow me. There is so much freedom in following Christ. As a matter of fact, anybody that's not following Christ, they are in so much bondage. They're in chain. They are in chain. I mean, you hear people talk about alcohol. Like, I heard somebody says that's why God created alcohol. God created the earth, the universe, the trees, and Adam. And in everything else, men created, okay? God did not create alcohol. And alcohol is not a bypass or is not something. Or drugs, whatever it is. Whatever people lean on to make sure they can cope with life. It doesn't heal. It doesn't bring restoration. It doesn't restore. It doesn't bring new birth. Only through Jesus Christ. But then you see what? You know what? The more you grow in the Lord, the more you'll understand, I have a debt, but I don't owe myself my flesh. I don't own my flesh. So therefore, I'm not gonna let anything make me their slaves. That's why I can never understand when someone says, well, you can't quit smoking. What do you mean? So you're saying smoking's got more power over you than you having over it? You're saying you can't quit drinking? I understand there are addiction. People get themselves, but I believe by the power of the Holy Spirit, there is enough power in the word of the Lord, and God give us a mind and a will. That's what makes us so different from the angels. We are not angels. Angels don't have a will. They were created to bow down, sing, holy, worthy are you, Lord. That's it. But God, look at the mud he formed with, you know, the man he formed with the mud, and he said he breathed into him. He's like, let's make him according to our resemblance. And then Adam, a man. That's why it's so powerful when someone's make their mind to serve the Lord. Right? Right, guys? You experience it. Is it easy? No. But is it rewarding? Yes. It's so powerful when you go through hardship in any relationship, you choose to talk it over. That's it. We talk about it. You hurt me, I hurt you, but there's no divorce. And this is not just for the marriage. It's for friendship as well. It's a hard thing to see sister divorce sister, brother divorce. So, you know, when I say divorce, it's just there's a cut in the relationship. They're like, I don't want you. I don't want anything to do with you. Families cannot get together. You see people leave churches because they got hurt. They got offended. It shouldn't be that way. Now remember, following Christ involves far more than believing in him. It involves belonging. So we belong to Christ. We belong to one another. As a matter of fact, I think and I know, as I know for a fact, it is impossible to grow spiritually by yourself. Well, just look at Heidi and Chloe. When Angie and Aaron had them, they took care of them. They were just yesterday you were a brand new baby. But now look at how tall you are. And watch it, you might be taller than Angel already. You see, that's how it is. We have the baby, we take care of the baby, we feed the baby, we nurture the baby, we take care of the baby again, and the baby drives you crazy at night. You know, and they become a stubborn toddler. And you know what? But guess what? All of this you're doing for what? To see what? Their maturity. Until the day you see them, you know, taking responsibility in life, doing good in life, serving the Lord. No Christian can grow spiritually by themselves. That's why I pray so many times. I'm like, God, open the eyes of your kingdom people so they could understand watching a service at home is not enough. It's good. It's convenient at times. Sometimes you might not be able to be here. You might not be able to come. But I pray for a new revelation of being part of the body, what it means. I pray for a new revelation for what it means to being part of the body. As the word of the Lord says in Hebrews, do not forsake the community. Don't forsake it. Do not abandon. Make sure you love the community. Love the body of Christ. Love coming together. Love having a good time. I tell you, religion makes people constipated. See, constipation is not a good thing. I'll let you think on that for a minute. Yeah, but then you're in trouble, man. Yeah? That's why Jesus came to set us free from religion. There's freedom in the Lord, freedom to be, freedom. I'm free to run, I'm free to laugh, I'm free to enjoy life, I'm free to not judge people, not condemn people. Being a member, being the member of a local church is more than merely having a church to belong to. It is your way to commit it to the work of God to the work of God is doing in our community. That's why, I mean, I thank God for the time I'm here. This is my church. But sometimes I'm like, God, why didn't you bring me here? But then I would have to be a little older. Because it sounds like you guys have done so much. But I tell you, God's not done. And I'm excited for what he's doing. I'm excited for what he will do. I'm excited for the many people that we have touched before I arrived. The many people you have impacted. So many times you guys given your time for Sunday school, you know. I mean, I know some people, they're like, you know, well, we're not coming back because we don't have children ministry. But how would we have children ministry unless you bring your children? Just think about it. How logic is that? I mean, you'd think good common sense would be like, okay. Now, at least if I have 3 kids, I could be like, all right, I'm going to have children ministry. Beginning of 2020, we're going to meet with our teenagers. 2022, sorry. Once a month, we're going to start. We're going to try to do something. But remember, it's not about the program. It's about making sure people are being discipled. So therefore, I will challenge you to look for ways to be involved in your church. Usher, you know, the camera. Right now, human resources, we need hands. You know, what can you do? Don't ask your country what the country can do for you, but ask yourself, what are you going to do to contribute to the well-being of your country? Who said that again? You got it. Don't ask your church. I'm going to borrow the words for JFK and trick it a little bit. Don't ask your church what it can do for you. But look at yourself. Think about it. How could I make an impact? Where can I help? Where can I serve? Well, maybe you can serve with the children ministry. Maybe you can serve with the youth. And I tell you, I rebuke that mentality that you're 70 and you retired. There's no retirement in the kingdom. Well, where am I coming from? Moses. Moses began his ministry when he was 80 years old. Okay? So, there's no retirement in the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, there's no retirement. God's not done with you. You're not old. I said this already to you guys. And I thank God for the, you know, some of our bodies, we might be going slow and slower. But you know what? Our spirit is stronger and stronger in the Lord. You never grow old in your spirit. No way. That's why some of us, we're like 70, you still think you can climb up a ladder that's 80 feet tall. Until you try to go up, you're like, oh, I better not. You see, it's sad that in our churches, people lost the concept of covenant. I told you this already. But when you studied covenant, you realize, I mean, our Bibles, you know, we've got in this Bible here, I have 2 covenant, the old covenant and the new covenant. It's my contract with the Lord. God will never fail me. We sang that earlier. So, who do we blame? We can't blame our society. I think instead of blaming, I don't have the screen, so, and of course, I tell you, technology is crazy. I need the charger for my computer because right now it's telling me low battery. So good. Don't you love it? Thank you, Lord. This morning, I was just like, you know, there's a way to do things. You try to do things the way you know to do it, and nothing works. The Lord's still good. We can't blame our pastors. You know, some people blame pastors. Some people blame somebody else. When you go to heaven, when people go to heaven, if you're looking out there and you've been in church, you've been in the body of Christ and you left the body of Christ because of hurt, no one is responsible for no one. Everybody is responsible for their own action. That's why In Peter, 1 Peter 2:20, it says, Christ, God has given us an example, and that example is only in Christ. Now, verify, it could be 1 or 2 Peter 2:20. The example God has given us is in Christ, and God has given us that example to follow Christ step by step. That's why I keep telling people, God called me to be an example to the world. So as I do, Paul said, as I do, follow Christ. As I do like Christ do, you do like I do. But don't keep your eyes on me, because I am not Christ. Jesus is the Savior. Jesus set the example. So you follow him. You keep your eyes on him. I need the charger for my computer, please. It's in my bag, in my office. So the best thing we can do is look in the mirror. Instead of pointing fingers, let us continue to look within. You know, I believe congregations are weak because many of us church members have lost the biblical meaning of what it means to be part of the body of Christ. And I thank God for all of you here, because you're getting it, right? It's exciting to be part of the body of Christ. It's exciting to be a member of the church. You know, here in this church, the coming weeks, I'm going to bring, we're going to, in your cell group, your cell leader is going to bring you, thank you, brother, your cell leader is going to bring you some paper. And we are actually doing membership. All of you here are already a member. You know, but I'm setting that up for the ones that are coming later. We're preparing ourselves to, you know, just organize ourselves to give people a sense of belonging. I mean, notice in the past, people would join a church for what the church could offer. I'll tell you one story. I mean, it was kind of bad. After the earthquake, we started the church. I mean, tons of people died that was already part of the church. So we had about, 20 people? But then, you know, at that time, there was tons of help coming from everywhere. And one of the things our church was doing, we got, I don't remember how many temporary sheds, you know, sheds, the 8x8 shed. After an earthquake, I mean, Captain, you've been there. It's like, guys, even a tarp is a big deal. You give someone a tarp because their house is done, you know, it's raining, so people use tarp to build house. So our church had, through Rodney and Lloyd in Pennsylvania, they had some contacts, and those people donated maybe like 80 sheds, I tell you. I mean, good stuff. Ship them in Haiti. So then the word went around that this church is giving sheds. And it wasn't sheds in America, but back there it was houses. We lived in one. It was a house. I mean, beautiful 8x8 house. Oh, I tell you guys, we had members. We had people who wanted to come become members just like that. Why? Because at that time, we were only giving sheds, houses, to our members. And then we figured, we didn't have a lot of people at that time. We figured, we'll probably give maybe 30 or 40 members, and then whatever else we have left will extend to the community. But I tell you, man, guys, I remember it. Right away, the church had tons of people because people came. They're looking for something. But knowing me, you know, a lot of those people did not get a shed, unfortunately, because what they were after, their motives were wrong. God did not give us the local church to become a country club or a credit card company for us to be a member for advantages. That's why in God's church, when I'm talking about God's church here in this place, we don't want your membership for your tithes or your offerings. That's not what it's about. We want you to understand being part of the body is a beautiful thing. We want you to understand that when you are in pain, I am in pain. When you're rejoicing, When it's your birthday, we all should celebrate. That's why you should be part of a home group, so the home group can celebrate you. I grew up in a family. My dad and mom, they were busy enough and life was hard enough for them. You know, they provided school and stuff. So we had everything we needed growing up. But one thing they didn't care about was our birthday. So my birthday growing up wasn't a big deal. So it's like, oh, I guess it was February. I'm like in June. Oh, it was my birthday. I had a birthday this year. For years, I didn't even know I was born in February. I'm serious. Because I grew up in a family where that wasn't a big deal. Until I met Kendra. Then, of course, you know what? We're dating, and she's like, you know, what's your birthday? February. Okay, good. On. Yeah, what's the big deal? And then on one first time, I was 18, right? 18. On my 18th birthday, she invited me home to her house. When I went there, I was just like, what? What is that? Never had any celebration for 18 years. None whatsoever. That revolutionized my mind to realize, man, I was part of a family, but they didn't know how to love me in that way. Now, since I become part of her family choose to honor me and love me on my birthday. I said, man, I'm going back home. I went back home that day. I grabbed a piece of paper. I said, Mom, what's your birthday? My sister, what's your birthday? I wrote all of their birthdays down. I'm born in February, and everybody else in my family is born like May, June, August, September, and October. I knew their birthday. And then we didn't have much. I remember my sister is in May 26th. Bring everybody. I was like, Mom, you're going to cook this. You're going to, you know, whatever we have. And then we're going to sing, Try Is That Eve. And I'm like, what? I've become a disciple. So I'm like, you know, this is what family should do for families. When it's your birthday, it's a time for us to honor you, to tell you, even if we don't tell you how we love you the rest of the year. But today, guess what? We are so in love with you. You know? And we realize, you know, and I prayed the same thing for Dan the other day. Silver and gold we might not have to give you. But this is the day that the Lord created you. We pray for them. We bless them. And I hope you all are doing this. But if you're not doing that at home, we're doing it in our home group. When it's your birthday, as a matter of fact, in our family, when it's one of our birthday, it's a holiday. Yep. In my house, when there's one of our birthday, it's a holiday. Whether we do things during the day, go to work, whatever, but we come in the afternoon, guess what? We celebrate. Everybody, today is a holiday. So that's the mentality I want us to approach membership. I want you to be excited about, yes, I'm a member of LCC. I'm a member of this church. You know, people out there, they might not understand what it means, but for you, you can give them an explanation. It's like my body is unified. My members, they take pleasure in serving one another. If my finger hurts, my toe hurts. You know, God has called us not to be served, but to serve, to care for one another, to pray for our leaders, to learn and to give, and in some case, even to die for the sake of the gospel. You know, don't wait until you find yourself in the position, am I going to die for the gospel? You never know. Don't say anything, but deep in your heart, would you die for Jesus? He died for you. Just like last month, tons of Christians died for their faith. Are you learning something? Yes. See, many churches are weak because they have turned the meaning of membership upside down. And that's actually, I've taught classes like on membership. And for me, I think one thing that needs to happen in our mind, even here, we need to renew our mind. You know, accept this is what membership is like. There's no divorce in membership. I can't, I can hurt you. You can hurt me, but we talk about it. because I am part of you, you part of me, we do life together, there's a high chance we might hurt each other. But when I hurt you, don't go talk to Jomel. Come talk to me. You see, that little principle in itself, if people would follow it, our churches would be so healthy. And now, if she doesn't have the maturity enough, or the guts enough, the character to come talk to me, if she goes and talk to Jomel, Jomel, on her part, should be like, why are you telling me this? I love you, sister, but that's none of my business. You should go talk to pastor. Well, you can't. I'll take you. Let's go. Please, would you do that? I tell you, this is how it should be. That's why in my church, people that's got like their itchy tongues, they never come and talk to me about people. And I tell each one of you here, I got your back. I don't talk to Dan about, I don't talk to Dan about anybody else's business. Because that is the culture of the kingdom. That's why people are hurt. I've known a lot of people that can't go back to church because they've been misunderstood. What's another word? They've been just taken advantage of, backstabbing, talking about. It shouldn't be that way. You know, the body heal itself. And I pray for those people out there, they would understand. We do misrepresented love at times. At times, we do misrepresented love. Love covers a multitude of sin. You see, our church, I already told you this. Church, I believe a healthy church member understands covenant. You understand? You and I, we have a covenant. We have a relationship. You know, I have the best interest at heart for you. I want what's best for you. You do want what's best for me. Isn't that awesome? If a group of people would be like, that's one thing that was kind of hard for us when we moved here, because we moved from a community that really, in the past 10 years, we taught that and we lived it. Where in America, everybody's on their own. You shouldn't do life by yourself. No, you shouldn't. We need each other. And I'm going to repeat it again. You do need each other. When you need me, you call me. If I need you, I call you. You know? I've seen those guys. You know, they're lifting up something. You see them. Like, you need help? No, I got it. And then you're like, me? This is what I do. I'm like, get out of here. You don't get it. Let's go. Because then that makes the load light. But in our mindset, you know, watch it. He might fart. It happens to me. Oh, man. That's a good one. Sorry, I didn't have that in my notes. Oh, man, Jesus, thank you for your word, Lord. Oh, man, that's a good one. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to stop right here. Come on, then, let's do one more song. Then let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the joy of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we accept your word and we want to be good church members. Thank you for what you're doing in our midst, Father. We bless your name and we accept your word today. In Jesus' name, amen.